Blog Talk Radio.
If I knew then what I know now, no, I wouldn't change much of anything. If I knew then what I know now, no, I wouldn't change much of anything anyhow. It was 50-50, and I won the coin toss when you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Live. Help for HD Live is brought to you by Help for HD International and is made possible by our sponsors, Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Griffin Foundation. Today is a special show because I have two co-hosts with me, Sharon Thomason and Katrina Hamill. We are making a couple of changes this year. Sharon and Katrina are both going to be hosting Help for HD Live once a month, which is super exciting. This is exciting for us because we all know that interviewers and hosts have different styles. And so we are going to give you three different kinds of styles throughout the year of 2017 with the three of us hosting the show together. We are also adding headline news. And each week we're going to do an update of some of the top news stories that have come out for our community. So that's really exciting. We'll try to all stay up to date with the latest and greatest going on. 2016 was amazing for Help for HD International. We have grown leaps and bounds over the last year, and it seems like the last couple of months have been absolutely crazy about all that has been going on here at Help for HD. We've been able to add programs and sustain our current programs that are serving the HD community. On today's show, we are going to review some of the programs that we have had, that we have done over the last year, and let you guys kind of have an update. For those of you who haven't heard about what we have done, we will kind of let you guys know what's been going on within our company, and we'll kind of also take a look into 2017 about all that's going to be going on here as well. So I am going to start the show by passing the mic over to Katrina Hamill to talk to us about caring for HD.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited for what 2017 has coming for all of us as a community. But as far as 2016, caring for HD was it was open for all of 2016, first of all 12 months. And we offered free items to the community that are without a home. We did a little bit of outreach and giving to this community here in Lompoc, California. But as well as doing that, we also had about five families that are living with Huntington's disease in this area utilize what we had to offer here. And so that included, obviously, the items we had in store that they were able to have for free. And that included bedside commodes, that included clothing, it included household items. And those five families were able to come and get any necessary items as well as just some support. And I was able to help them find their ways navigating through different programs that we can offer locally as far as food programs and healthcare programs and stuff that is offered in Santa Barbara County. Caring for HD is open as a place where people can come that have Huntington's disease in their family for generations. So we had maybe five families, but several generations that would come into the shop and kind of just talk and receive support. In caring for HD, we had two different events go on in Lompoc that kind of showed what we were doing. So we did HD Awareness Day, and that was in September here in Lompoc, and we were able to talk to the community about Huntington's disease. We had a lot of people out. We had people who knew what Huntington's disease was. We had people who were experiencing Huntington's disease personally, and we had people who did not know about Huntington's disease, which was a great variety. We were able to teach a little. We were able to learn a little. We were able to just have a really fun day that involved education for the Huntington's disease community and San Bernardino County. We also did the spring arts table where we were able to let people know we were here and available for services. And they actually came to us, the city of Wilmsville came to us to have a nonprofit table out and to talk about what we're doing and to let people know that they can come and get free services and free clothing and things like that here at Caring for HD. Caring for HD has offered a lot of things for not only Huntington's disease families and generations, but also for the Santa Barbara County community as well.
Yeah. And a lot of people were able to learn from that community, including law enforcement. I mean, you know, how close did you work? You worked so close with Wampoke law enforcement and even opening the store, Katrina, and having to teach them about Huntington's disease in that process. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
So more people know about HD in the Santa Barbara County for sure through Caring for HD. Let's turn the mic over to Sharon to give us an update on the Huntington's Post.
Hi, everyone. We did a website redesign this year, and part of that meant putting the Huntington's Post as a tab on the Help for HD International website. So if you want to access the Huntington's Post now, all you have to do is go to www.helpforhd.org, and then you click on the tab for the Huntington's Post, and it shows all of the articles, and it has them archived by month. Some of the things that we featured in the Huntington's Post this year had to do with genetic testing, the guidelines, the current guidelines for genetic testing, and the author of that article talked about how genetic testing, according to the guidelines established, just didn't work for her and explained why. We also ran an article about a new genetic test that offers hope to the community because it helps with prescribing drugs for different symptoms that are associated with HD. So essentially it's about personalized medicine and how this genetic test can help doctors better treat and manage the symptoms. And it has the links for more information there. We also featured an article through the eyes of an 11-year-old child living at risk. What's it like to be a little kid who's looking at one of your parents who's dying and knowing, you know, as you're 11 years old, you're beginning to be aware of just what the disease is and what the implications are for you and how that must feel to a child. We ran a couple of articles on the psychiatric aspects of Huntington's disease, which seems to be, to me, one of the biggest concerns that I hear voiced again and again. We had an article about the Sacramento Symposium, which was just an awesome event. We had an article about death with dignity. And that article was paired with a show that we did on Help for HD Live with Alan Pfeffer, who's an advocate for passing death with dignity laws that would benefit the HD community. And we also ran articles that were associated with other shows that we were doing. We had one about the HD youth that was written by Ashley Clark. And it was actually part of her blog, and we have a link there to a I believe it's a weekly blog that she writes. And then another blog by Leah Amberly Barker, who is another member of the community who has written and maintains her own blog, and she actually had written a poem, and the article that's published is that poem along with a link to a YouTube video of her performing that poem. It's a real powerful piece. And then we ran an article on how we were celebrating the patient advocates in December. And Katie wrote this article about the power of patient advocacy and gave a brief bio of the people that we interviewed during the month of December. And you can actually go back in our archives on Blog Talk Radio and listen to the interviews with Lauren Holder and Havana Lowe's and Marie Clay and Kinzer Canselmo. So that's about it for the Huntington Post for this year. We've got something exciting coming up soon. We're actually going to publish a short story that a community member wrote, and we're going to publish it in installments. So you'll get to read a few pages of the story and then stay tuned for the next part. And it's a short story that's relevant to issues that concern members of the community. So I hope people will read and enjoy that. That's going to be a real different spin for the post.
Yeah, and that's going to be really exciting too. The story, we've got to preview the story, and it is fantastic. And I know the community is definitely going to very much benefit from hearing the story. I mean, it's through one of our community members' eyes, so it's fantastic. And he's a brilliant writer, so we are excited for that to come soon. I'll do a quick overview for you guys about Help for HD Live and Help for JHD Live. We have Dr. Goodman on. Obviously, she is one of our medical advisors at Help for HD International, and she's actually ran some series for us this year. She did one on psychiatric symptoms associated with Huntington's disease, and that was a highly listened to show. It's definitely showed us that the community wants to hear and talk more about this issue. And LaVon did a great job. We've had guests like Terry Temkin, Ray Dorsey, Sam Frank, Mary Edmondson. We've had social workers. We had Alice and Nancy Wexler this year on, who we all know and love. We've had Karen Anderson. We've had Ira Scholzen. We've had community members. We've ran a couple series this year, like Celebrating the Advocate at the end of the year in December. And these were really fun times that we got to engage with the community and talk to the community about all the great stuff they're doing. We've had shows like Peter, who wrote the Huntington's Waltz. We've kind of traveled around the world, which has been fun. We have done shows in India, and we have done shows from people in Scotland and Ireland, and that has been really, really fun for me to host, definitely, and hear and be able to talk to these people from around the world who are working hard to bring awareness to their countries. And hearing how they have done it has been exciting.
Another thing that we actually introduced this year was Help for GHD Live. We ran that show May 19th, and we started that show with Dr. Peg Napolis and Dr. Kyle Fink came on, and they talked about juvenile Huntington's disease and their study and their research going on at UC Davis and University of Iowa. That was a really amazing kickoff show. Since that show, we've had some peer-to-peer shows where it helped GHD mothers that have children with GHD have talked about some situations and different challenges they have at home, and they've given each other advice. And obviously, we know in the GHD community, the best experts in GHD are the mothers. And so those were very powerful shows with the mothers coming together and talking. We've also had social workers come on Help for GHD Live and talk about school, talk about how parents should go about with IEPs and talking to schools about juvenile Huntington's disease. So I really think that the Help for GHD Live is a huge resource and an important component at Help for HD, and we plan on continuing that program and hopefully growing that program in 2017. We're going to have Dina Canastrosi and Stacy Sargent next year host a lot of these shows. They have already come to me, and they have lots of ideas of some great show topics for GHD. So we are excited to have that program at Help for HD, and we will continue to always support our GHD community, definitely.
That's actually already this year. Not next year.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Sharon?
I said that's actually already this year, not next year, because it's already 2017.
Oh, I know. Yes, you're right. I have to get used to saying that.
It's messed up on us.
You mean we already have to start doing 2017? Yes. Yeah,
and
so
we
are excited.
And we want to make sure, too, that people know that they can go back and listen to all of these shows in the archives. So you want to tell
yes.
people how to do that?
Yes, you know, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/helpforhd, and all of the shows are there listed and available on archives. Or you can go we also have them available for you Apple users on iTunes as well. And that has, I think there's 200, last time I checked, 271 shows archived. So there is a lot of resources and information out there for you guys, definitely. I mean, shows for since 2010 are available for you to listen to. So, you know, these shows live on forever for you guys. So let's move on and let's talk about one of our programs at Help for HD that I know is very dear to all of our hearts, and that is our law enforcement education program. This is a very, very important program at Help for HD, and this is a program that we heard our communities cry, and we decided we had to step in and help. So this is actually one of the programs that was really much brought to us by the community that they wanted us to develop, and we did, and it has been fantastic. So I am going to turn it over to Katrina to talk a little bit about what the LEAP program did in 2016.
So, you know, as we all have kind of seen and heard, there's a lot going on in Florida as far as coming together with big groups of police chief meetings. So what has gone on in Florida, they come together and get a table at the, I think it was the FCPA, that both Vicky and, was it Sharon Recar? I'm sorry. Right now I am just at the shop, and so I got a little bit sidetracked. I apologize, everyone. But basically what we've been doing is coming together at different chief of police meetings and educating about Huntington's disease. We have on a flash drive all the information that a a group would need to learn about HD. We have it on our brochures where if they plug it into their computer, they can see what types of information and brochures that we have. They can then print them and hand them out to their officers that will be actually meeting these people with Huntington's disease, and these will be the people that are needing to be educated. And so we have, you know, basically a PowerPoint, a video, our brochures, everything on our flash drive. That's, you know, it makes it easily distributed. We can pass them out at these meetings, and we can also hand deliver them. We can mail them to your guys' local law enforcement teams. That way they know that somebody in their community has Huntington's disease and that they do need to be educated about what this encounter may look like. And so that is, and you know, breaking it down, that is what we do. Recently, Help for HD was at IACP, which is the International Association of Chiefs of Police meeting in San Diego. This was in October, and we were able to talk to over 14,000 people. There were all part of the law enforcement agency. We had chiefs, but we also had, you know, the directors of education, of hundreds of different departments. So what we were able to do is, you know, we being the only nonprofit there, we were able to educate people quickly on what Huntington's disease was and how it's important and how it would affect the police stations, how it would affect the people coming out into the public, and how to keep themselves safe as well as keeping people with Huntington's disease safe, how to connect them back with their caregivers, family members, et cetera, but then also how to obtain information. So we were handing out our flash drives and asking for them to bring it back to the people in charge of education at their department. We were well received. We had a lot of people, receptive to information about learning on the spot, as well as bringing it to the people involved with education at their department. So, if the person in charge of education was not directly in front of us, they were extremely willing, just overexcited almost, to bring this back to the person in charge of education because they see it as being not only informative, but something new to learn about, something that will keep everyone safe and to be able to act correctly when interacting with someone with Huntington's disease. So we were able to meet a lot of different people there. And what was interesting is we met people from our local areas. And we were in San Diego, and, you know, Katie met people from up in, you know, the Sacramento area. We met people that were in Florida area that we also have people from our board, like Sharon, you know, over in that area. So we met many people that were not only willing but excited to remain connected with Help for HD. That we have set up new trainings because of this meeting. So that's another plus where we can go in and do on-site education with these people that we have met. So we are planning on expanding this program in 2017. Well, this year. Thank you, Sharon. we are planning on expanding this program as we go throughout the rest of this year. So that'll be exciting that, you know, we can continue to offer these flash drives to local agencies. And so if anyone out there is listening and would like us to send them a flash drive to get to their local law enforcement agency, please contact any one of us on the board, and you can find our information on the website as well.
I want to interject here, too, that one of the really cool things about the conferences is that the people who went to these conferences, like Katie and Katrina, you did the one in San Diego, you took with you your loved ones who have Huntington's disease so that the law enforcement officers actually interact with someone with Huntington's disease and get a feel for what that's like and hear things from their point of view. And I think that just had such a tremendous impact.
No, but you're exactly right, Sharon. Both Kevin and Mike were able to interact. They were and who show different physical and mental challenges, you know, psychiatric issues. And you can see the delayed responses in Kevin and the Korea and Mike and just the different ways that they present. You're absolutely right. They benefited from being able to talk with both Kevin and Mike. And you're right, in Florida as well. We've had people with Huntington's there on site to really put a face to this the symptoms, a face to the symptoms is what I'm saying. But
mm-hmm.
yes, thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, and I actually have a funny story. Yeah, Duff, I have a funny story about San Diego. You know, we took Kevin and Mike so Katrina and I, we were the only nonprofit at that meeting, which was shocking to me, but we were. And so Katrina and I actually were approached by an industry person, a person in the law enforcement industry space, to come and talk to them about our program. And so we were kind of, I would say, apprehensive because we were going to leave Mike and Kevin alone for a minute at our exhibit booth. And so we kind of told them, here's a couple of flash drives. If people want them, you can give them to them. But we left them with food and drinks. And we said, just hang out and just relax and we'll be back. So we left and I think both of us were a little apprehensive and we walked away. We were gone just for a short period of time. We came back and we actually had a sign up sheet. And Kevin and Mike got more law enforcement to sign up to learn more about Huntington's disease than Katrina and I did. So they were awesome. They were awesome. And, Mike kind of laughed and told me they probably didn't understand what I was asking, so they just signed because, you know, my husband slurs really bad. But I said, no, they understood what you were doing. And so they actually engaged better than Katrina and I did. I mean, the law enforcement wanted to talk to Mike. They wanted to talk to Kevin. They watched them very closely and watched, like Katrina was saying, the delayed response, the movement, kind of how they responded to the law enforcement. So everyone was
uh-huh.
very engaged. And the setting
Absolutely.
Is so perfect when you think of it. Yeah, of them all being there to learn. That's why they're there. They're there at these conferences to learn. And for a nonprofit to be sitting there with an exhibit space that they walk by, they have to walk by to go to the bathroom where we were. We are standing there and they engage and they talk. And I just can't think. Now, these conferences, I will tell you, are incredibly expensive and they are incredibly hard to get to and hard to set up and hard to take down. They don't make it easy for us to attend them. But once we get there, paid the cost, we've set it up and we have things going, when we see the education and awareness that is happening for Huntington's at these events, it's worth every single penny. Because people, we actually had one law enforcement agent walk up to us. It was probably the coolest thing that happened. He said, I'm from Florida and I don't need one of your flash drives because I want to tell you, we already have, our whole department has this flash drive and we all learn about Huntington's disease through this flash drive, and I want to thank you guys for helping us understand the disease. I mean, I sat there with my mouth wide open. I couldn't believe it. I never met this officer. He was from Florida. He obviously got they probably got the flash drive at a Florida meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And their
right.
whole department
maybe
is
one
now
of the
using
that Vicki Owen did.
Probably,
she's done
yes.
a lot throughout Central
Florida.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, she really has. And I do think that, I do believe that this program, just from that response, is working. And I mean, even if one whole department is learning about Huntington's disease, obviously we want every department in the United States learning about Huntington's disease. But if one department knows what this is and understands, I mean, I really think our efforts are worth every single minute
yeah.
and penny of efforts that go into this. Yes, absolutely. So that's
about maybe 100 flash drives to community members who requested them, but I haven't had any requests in quite a while now. So we probably need to remind people that they can request flash drives to be sent directly to law enforcement agencies in their area, whether it's department or sheriff's department, or some people have even done it with fire departments because of the the first responders that are sometimes called in. And so we have those flash drives that we can mail directly to these agencies.
Right.
And some people have requested flash drives so that they could personally go and do a training.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you mentioned that, Sharon, because I want the community to know that we are willing to support you if you want to go train your local law enforcement. We will get you the tools you need. We'll get you brochures. We'll get you the flash drive with all the information. We want to support you in any way we can to educate your local law enforcement.
Katie, do you want to mention the guest call-in number in case anyone has any questions about the things that we're talking about?
Yep, absolutely. If you guys want to call into the show and you have any questions, it looks like our chat room is actually having a really hard time loading right now, so it looks like the chat room is actually not open. But you can call in and ask us any questions you would like. Our call-in number is 310-982-27, and I will see you call in, and I will bring you in for any questions you may have. Okay, let's move on now to the Huntington's, the HD Family Relief Fund. This is a program that I believe has tremendously helped the community this year. So I will turn it over to Sharon to talk about what the program did in 2016.
This was one of our favorite things that we did this year. Of course, we had our regular relief fund programs that we did. We helped a couple of families that needed help with paying an electric bill and a weight blanket for a child with juvenile Huntington's disease. Those kinds of requests that we get throughout the year, and whenever we have enough funds in our relief fund, then we are able to grant those requests. We can do one per family per year. And we also added something this year. We decided to do a holiday family relief fund. And there were two parts: the help for the holidays, which was generously funded by Teva Pharmaceuticals. And we provided families with gift cards to help them purchase their meals for the holidays. And we were able to help, I believe it was 39 families. Is that correct, Katie? Do you remember the number?
Yeah, 39. Mm-hmm. Yep.
39. Okay. And then the other thing that we did came out of our Florida Symposium in October 8th at Wakulla Springs near Tallahassee. We have our Florida Symposium, and as part of it, we had a silent auction, and we took the proceeds from a silent auction and split it in half, and we gave half of it to Dr. Jan Nolte's research at UC Davis, and the other half we did a toys for the holidays. And I wanted to do that because I could remember when my ex-husband had Huntington's and wasn't able to work, and he was really upset because he couldn't afford to buy Christmas gifts for our son. And so I wanted families to be able to put gifts under the tree or gifts for Hanukkah or, you know, whatever holiday you celebrate. So we did Toys R Us gift cards, and we were able to do, I think, what's that, 20 families, Katie? You better
yep,
at the number time.
Yep, 20 families.
20 families, yeah. And we got some of the sweetest, nicest thank you notes from some of the people that we helped. So I know that this was a program that really had a direct impact and was near and dear to people's hearts.
It was the great thing about it was having just our regular relief fund where we were able to help families that kind of needed help right away. But then we were also able to help, you know, with food and to make a child's holiday better, but also the caregiver too with the guides and everything.
Yeah.
So we kind of hit all those areas, which was nice. Okay. So we at Help for HD International had a busy year last year. We actually held two symposiums, which we have never done before. And it was strenuous, but it was fun. It was good. It was great to be able to take the symposium out of California and bring it to Florida and be able to meet community and offer over there, meet all of our friends and community over in that area, and also to bring this education component over to another state. We did still hold a symposium in Sacramento, which was in April, which was fantastic. And it was fun to get everyone together. And we had, you know, speakers like we always do at symposium in the disciplines of neurology, psychiatry, research. And then we moved on to Tallahassee for the end of the year, which I really should let Sharon talk about this because she actually hosted it. I will kind of pass it over to you, Sharon. But we actually decided to have an uninvited guest join us for our symposium, and his name was Hurricane Matthew. But luckily, he didn't damage our day.
Uninvited and unwelcome.
And unwelcome, but he luckily didn't hit us, but he did make it so a lot of surrounding areas were obviously devastatedly, it was devastating what Hurricane Matthew did, and people were not able to come to the event. But we still, we pushed on, and we got it done. Sharon, why don't you give us a quick overview of Tallahassee?
Well, like you said, uninvited guest Hurricane Matthew really cut into our attendance. It just ravaged the east coast of Florida, and so a lot of people who were planning on traveling here, and we were able to provide quite a few scholarships so that people could travel to the symposium, and our scholarships paid for their hotel rooms. And so, you know, they were really looking forward to coming, and then they weren't able to because the weather was so bad. One person had a tree on her house. Roads were closed. And meanwhile, over here, it was sunny and beautiful, and we just carried on as if there were no hurricanes. But we had a beautiful venue. We had the symposium at a state park, the lodge at Wakulla Springs State Park. And we had, I guess our attendance, I think it ended up being right at 100. And we had two guest speakers who were not able to come, but those who did make it did a wonderful job. Dr. Jan Nolte flew in from Sacramento and talked to us about her stem cell research. Sonia Slavinsky flew in from the University of Iowa and talked about the research that they're doing with the JHD Kids program, the Kids HD and Kids JHD is two separate programs. We had a breakout session where we talked about law enforcement and genetic testing, and then we had some of our Florida experts from University of Florida and University of South Florida who talked about the research that they're doing at their locations as well as the resources that they provide for patients and families living with Huntington's. And we had a number of exhibitors who were able to talk about resources that are available to people specifically in Florida. So yeah, that was it turned out to be a good event in spite of the hurricane.
Yeah, everyone had a fantastic time. It was a great event. And I love our education
really
events.
One of the really cool things was that Wakulla Springs gave us tickets for people to be able to go on the Jungle Cruise, which was a lot of fun. A lot of people took advantage of that and had a really good time seeing the alligators and the manatees and all the different birds and where Tarzan was filmed and all kinds of cool stuff. So that was fun.
Yeah, that was an amazing cruise. It was a lot of fun. I could have done without the alligators. I was hoping they would all leave, but they didn't. They were all there. They decided not to leave for the tour that I was on, unfortunately. But it was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous. And the manatees were just the neatest thing ever. And so it was a lot of fun. And I'm glad that the HD community got free tickets and they were able to take advantage of that and take a nice little ride on a boat. It was a lot of fun. And then we also, as far as our events as well, we also did HD awareness days, we did casino night out, we did walks, we had dinners. All proceeds from these events went to research or care. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that when you do a event with Help for HD International, if you did one in 2016 or if you plan on doing one this year, all your net proceeds will go where you choose. And so we have sent them to clinics, Huntington's clinics, to help support the clinic. We have sent them to research, Jan Nolte, Kyle Fink's JHD research. We've sent money there from events this year. So anyone who wants to do a Help for HD International event, please contact any of us. And we'd be more than happy to support you through that process. My email, you can email me anytime.
We've got all kinds of ideas of things that you can do. It doesn't have to be a walk.
Right.
I know the casino nights out have been big hits. Vicki Owen organized a softball tournament, Strikeout HD, that I understand was a lot of fun and had a lot of participation, raised a lot of awareness. And that's an important part of these events, too, not just raising money, but also raising awareness. Cocktail for Cure is another popular event. So, you know, the sky's the limit.
Yes. I mean, even Katrina Hamill's daughter, for her senior project, did a bake sale, and she baked, and she sat out with a table
outside, and she sold baked goods, and she sent all the money to JHD research. And it was her senior project. And then in her senior project, she taught her senior class about what Huntington's and juvenile Huntington's disease was. She raised a little bit of money for the event. And it doesn't matter if you raise $200 or $2 million. I mean, the awareness is worth gold, like Sharon said. And just having people out there fighting, it could be a bake sale or it could be a soft. We all can do our little bit of a part to try to support research and support care and support
absolutely.
Our community.
And on that, Katie, you know, people can be so creative with events. I mean, they can do something that whatever it is that they do in their family for fun, whatever they enjoy, whatever they do as a job, you know, there's just so many ways to bring awareness and or money for research. You know, there's just so many fun ways of doing it, and there is no, you know, straight guideline of how or what should be done, which is so fun. You know, it can be done in different ways.
Yep, absolutely.
The real important takeaways from this is what Katrina's daughter did. As a retired teacher, I taught teenagers for 38 years, and I can tell you that they are some of the most passionate advocates you will ever find anywhere. I mean, those kids will work their hearts out. So if you're listening and you have teenagers at home, let them get involved, because they love to know that they're doing something to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am incredibly excited about this year. I know we all are at Help for HD International. We have so much going on right now. Kind of our heads are spinning, and we're trying to get everything in order. But we have a lot going on. I am happy to announce that symposium in 2017 will be held in Tampa, Florida. So we are excited to see all of you. And on top of that, we are also going to be planning education days and events, and there's going to be a lot going on. But let me start.
Go ahead and give the date and location for symposium.
So symposium is going to be held on October 21st of this year, and it's going to be at the Bay Harbor Hotel in Tampa, Florida. It's a beautiful venue. We obviously have not locked in all of our keynote speakers. I will tell you from our outreach that we will have neurology and we will have social services, a social worker there. We will have everything that we always have at our symposiums. This venue is absolutely beautiful. We are excited to come in and offer this great education event to Tampa. So here we come back to Florida, and we're really excited for it. But I think it's important also to let people know that we are branching out this year. We are hitting other states. We don't have the actual venues set up yet to where we can talk about the education days, but I will announce them the second they're secured, because I don't want anyone to get excited about an education day coming that we're not sure if it's actually coming. So once we get these venues completely locked in, we will announce the education days, but I will tell you that there is 5 education days that Help for HD International is going to have this year, and we are going to go across the nation this time. So hopefully we are coming to your state, and if not, you know, we definitely, maybe in 2018 can. We are trying to branch out as far as we can. But let's talk about some of our programs that are, I know our education programs are more local, but let's talk about our national programs. So Sharon, let's give us a look into 2017 LEAP program.
Okay, we've got 2 conferences that we're attending. One is the Florida Police Chiefs Conference, and the other is it's for Alabama law enforcement. It's another statewide conference, and that's in Orange Beach, Alabama. So we're doing 2 state conferences this year. We're also going to continue to do local training, and like I said earlier, if you want to set up a training with your local law enforcement, we will provide the materials. We have the law enforcement education in a flash program that makes it so easy. We have a video that you can show from the flash drive and a PowerPoint and brochure that can be downloaded and printed and given to law enforcement officers.
Yeah. And we actually, in 2016, kind of redid some of the videos, and so there's professionals on there talking about what law enforcement should do if they come across someone with Huntington's disease. So I think the videos are very strong. There's a video with family members showing different symptoms. Patients on that video of expressing different symptoms of Huntington's disease. So I think it's an amazing program.
And Dr. Wheelock does an amazing job of explaining what HD is and the kinds of things that law enforcement officers and first responders should be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Katrina, let's talk about a little bit. One, we didn't actually talk about our publications that we do have. We have publications like Who is Help for HD? What is Huntington's Disease? What is Juvenile Huntington's Disease? And then our law enforcement education brochures. But I wanted to kind of have Katrina talk about what we are planning.
Safe Proof in Your House is another one that we have.
Safe proofing your house for your loved one living with Huntington's disease. Yep. So those are the ones we have. But this year we want to introduce more publications. So Katrina, if you want to kind of give us a look onto 2017, this year's publications we are going to bring to the community.
Sure. So currently, like Katie has said, we do have our brochures on our website at healthforhd.org. You can go under resources and find an individual link for our brochures that you can then print out and use as you see fit for your community or your loved ones, et cetera. But as far as the rest of this year, we are looking into making a few different or releasing a few different brochures. We have the ones that's going to be helping us through trials. So, the day of trials, the days leading up to trials can be, quite different than your regular routine days for someone with Huntington's disease. And that's something important to look at in advance before you begin the trial process. You just want to be ready. You want to be proactive, and we have some different steps and ideas of things that have worked in both our families and in community members that have shared their information with us on key points that they wanted to share with the community. So that's a big one that will be coming out this year, and I'm actually excited about that one because, we encourage people that want to participate in trials to do so, but also to be aware and prepared. So that'll be a great brochure coming out. We also have hospice and advanced care directives that, both things are extremely important. And hospice is something that I worked in for 10 years. I worked with hospice agencies and manage the care home specifically for people on hospice. And this isn't just because of Huntington's disease, but everyone experiences, well, not everyone, but majority of people will have some sort of interaction with hospice care in their lifetime. Maybe not a loved one, maybe not themselves, but a lot of people choose to go through hospice care, and so we're going to help navigate through some of those things and just discuss what certain things are and, again, prepare. And same with advanced care directives. It's preparation. It's learning exactly kind of like what that means to you and your family and how important some of these things are. We've noticed at Health for HD that publications in the form of, you know, our brochures, that they go quickly when we have them out on our tables during different events or even during our small education days. And here in the shop, we have all of our publications out and available, and they go quickly, and people are interested and people want to learn more. And this is a great way that people can take the information with them. If they don't want to have a deep conversation about hospice, they can look at it, take it home, share it with who needs to learn about it, and it has become a really good resource for for the people that we have interacted with at our events and at this Caring for HD shop.
I think that one's going to be especially important because there's so many misconceptions about hospice, and a lot of people are afraid of hospice. And
absolutely. It's a terrifying word for most people.
And
even the medications that typically come along with hospice, the names of medications themselves can be alarming. And misconceptions is a great word. And I've definitely seen people be able to turn that around, which has been a beautiful thing. You know, when people have come in with a mindset of how awful and scary hospice is, to be able to
learn. It's that old adage, you know, knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think, Katrina, you know, the one thing you taught me with you working in hospice almost half your career is that hospice is there to help people, and it's a comfort, and it's something, it shouldn't be scary. It's something that, and it's a service that is often not utilized or utilized too late.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I mean, the thing is people think of hospice some people think of it as kind of like helping to end someone's life quickly. Some of the people actually think that coming on to hospice care, you will die sooner. When, in my experience and what I have learned through hospice caregivers, is that it's relieving the pain and suffering as much as possible for the end of someone's life, which is inevitable anyhow. And there are so many things that people don't realize that hospice care agencies offer, like respite care. I at least in my area, I'm not sure about, you know, all of the United States, obviously, but I do know that in our area, they offer, you know, free medications, free briefs, free wipes, free, you know, free respite. They can help with bed baths. I mean, all of these services in my area, again, my area, are free. And hospice had, you know, really helped my mom out and for a short period of time because of her situation. But it was such a relief to have help that, and it's educated help. It's people who have experienced people in the process of dying. So, and it's a very hard subject for a lot of people, but it's also something that the more educated you are about hospice, the more you feel comfortable with it. They offer, you know, bereavement. They offer a lot of counseling and things like that as well.
Well, and I think Katrina, you know, for the listeners that don't know, your mother passed away from Huntington's disease, and your mom had HD, and you talk very openly about how bringing her to hospice, your work at the very end, and being with her, and going through this process of bringing her comfort from what, you know, she went through in her life, especially at the end being homeless and what she had to go through. You bringing her into your home, and you bringing her then into your job at hospice, and seeing her out to the end was therapeutic for both of you going through that process.
There's a lot of, like, go ahead, sorry.
No, please, you go ahead.
No, just that there was a lot of closure. You know, she had a really, really big struggle with Huntington's disease, and that had a lot to do with lack of care. But when she was able when she was able to utilize the services offered by hospice, there was a lot of growth there, a lot of connection, and we were able to really comfort her emotionally and spiritually and physically and all of those things that really make a difference. And because, you know, you're a whole person, you know, that whole philosophy of just not being just her body that needs comfort, but everything else that needs comfort. And so she was able mm-hmm. to be at ease, and her family was there while she took her last breath. And so without hospice, that would have not been possible, because she was without care for so long that she would have continued to suffer had she not had the hospice team.
And a lot
good show.
Of people
good show's
are
idea,
under the impression that the hospice is only available, you know, like the last couple of weeks or the last month of your life, that and they don't realize that somebody can actually be on hospice for, I've heard of as much as 3 or 4 years.
That's absolutely true. I've taken care of people for that long. And what usually is the criteria is that a person, a person that is said to be ill enough to possibly die within 6 months, they can be placed
okay.
on hospice. But then mm-hmm. when they improve, when their care gets, you know, stable and they start doing really well, then they they may not die in that period of time. But the hospice doctor can reevaluate and say, well, no, they did get better for a little bit, but they're still sick, and they can kind of recertify them for another 6 months. And so that's usually the process. They get their reevaluation before their 6 month mark. And if the doctor still feels that within the next 6 months they will pass, then they typically go ahead and recertify them for hospice. And so I've taken care of someone, the longest I think was 2.5 years that I personally took care of somebody. But there was somebody I had heard of and known of for 8 years. You know, it really does depend on how the disease progresses, because typically, you know, as we see in HD, somebody will decline and then plateau. You know, they'll just kind of stay the same. And then, mm-hmm. again, they'll get a little bit sicker and then kind of straighten out for a little while. So, yeah, absolutely. People do think that they do come to hospice services a little too late. In my personal opinion, in my professional opinion, I have seen that happen, to where if they would have come sooner, their suffering would have been less.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what great show topics for 2017, and now with Katrina.
Absolutely.
I think that's one feel that Katrina is going to bring to Help for HD Live in this year, 2017, is she's going to bring a lot of this kind of really practical information, talking about hospice, talking about services, talking about these kind of hard subjects to talk about, but definitely Katrina has the background in talking about these hard subjects, and we definitely need to talk about them, and I know the community wants to talk about them. So definitely something that you can look for sure in this year on Help for HD Live. All right, any final thoughts, you guys, because I think we have gone over an hour, so we will wrap the show at this point. But any final thoughts from either one of you guys?
Yeah, one more thing. We have a surprise publication scheduled for release in May for HD Awareness Month, so be on the lookout for that. It is going to be an awesome booklet for caregivers, and that's all I'm going to say.
So keep your eyes open in May.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually,
Katrina,
any in April so that you will have it for the month May.
Okay, perfect.
Just thank you guys for all the support and listening into these radio shows, because this, I think, is, along with social media, of course, but I think this is a great way to spread awareness and also to get your guys' input on things that you'd like to talk about. And I think this is the best way to do so, is get up on the radio and ask those questions. And even if you don't want to ask them personally, you can email us anytime. You can send us a messenger on Facebook. You can text us. You can call us, whatever you'd like to do to get your voice heard on different subjects and topics. I think that 2017, we have a lot of room for that. So that's all.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If you have
a
question for a guest, don't be afraid to ask. And, you know,
yeah.
We don't have to say your name. You don't even have to say what your question is on the radio. You can send it through the chat room, and we'll read the question to the guest. So it's a good place to get questions answered if you have.
Yeah, definitely. And you could reach any of us at, you know, our emails are all very easy. They're just our first names with help4hd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number 4, H-D.org, behind it. So Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at help4hd.org. Sharon, at help4hd. Katrina, at help4hd. So, .org. Email us with anything. We are here for you. I think that's my final thought, is that we are a nonprofit organization serving the Huntington's disease community. We are here for you. And if you need anything, you have any ideas, you have any thoughts, you want to talk to us, we are always open and here, and we want to talk to you. We love what we do. We love serving the Huntington's disease community, and we love Help4HD for giving us the platform to do so. So, please, let's make 2017 a great year. We have lots of events. We have lots of things going on. Let's support each other. And I love what Sharon says. Let's make 2017 the year of the cure. So I think that is my final thought. And I think we can wrap up the show. Everyone, have a safe night. I will be traveling next week, and tune in next week, same time, same place. And Sharon Thomason will be hosting a show with Leah Barker, and that will be a fantastic show. So everyone, tune in next week, and until then, have a safe night. Thank you.
Bye.